What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I'm your host, Charles Wells, coming at you on this Sunday, and we had a full week of football, so we're going to recap all the action and enjoy the fact that we were able to get in four full games of swag football on this past week, week two, and we're not going to waste much time because we got a lot to get into, and I got a lot to get off my chest. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. Facebook.com/SwagTalk, Twitter.com/SwagTalk76, Instagram.com/SwagTalk, and SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into this with the game that most people have been looking forward to and paying attention to. Jackson State 33, Grambling 28. Didn't get to see the game. I'll probably try to watch a replay later, but it definitely seemed like an entertaining game. Want to give Coach Deion Sanders congratulations on picking up his first SWAC victory, his first road win, and his first win over FCS opponent. So that's, you know, a good look for him. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to continue to do some great things at that program. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into this. Jackson State got the scoring started with 11 minutes and 34 seconds to go in the first quarter when Corey Reed caught a 13-yard pass from Jalen Jones. Extra point was good. Three plays, 10 yards, a minute and 17 time of possession. Jackson State led 7-0. Grambling got on the board with 8 minutes and 4 seconds to go in the first quarter when Jeremy Hickbottom ran a 2-yard touchdown run. Extra point good, 9 plays, 61 yards, 3 minutes and 23 seconds time of possession. 7-7 was the score. 4 minutes and 4 minutes and 7 seconds to go in the first quarter. Keylon Elder, 1 yard touchdown run for Grambling. Extra point good. 7 plays, 51 yards, 2 minutes and 30 seconds time of possession. Grambling led 14-7. With 10 minutes and 48 seconds to go in the second quarter, Jalen Jones, 4 yard run for Jackson State. The extra point no good. 9 plays, 67 yards, 4 minutes and 2 second time of possession. 14-13. With 9 minutes and 5 seconds to go in the second quarter, Daylon Baldwin, 64-yard pass from Jalen Jones. Extra point was good. 2 plays, 68 yards, 44 seconds time of possession, 20-14. With 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, Tyson Alexander, 33-yard run. Extra point good for Jackson State. 5 plays, 62 yards, a minute and 39 seconds time of possession. Halftime score, 27-14. 8 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the third quarter. Clark, 15-yard pass from Hickbottom. Extra point good. 11 plays, 67 yards, 4 minute time of possession. Jackson State led 27-21. With 13 minutes and 55 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Elder, a 2-yard run for Grambling. Extra point good. Capping a 16-play, 80-yard drive. 5 minute and 45 second time of possession. Grambling led 28-27. And with 12 minutes and 35 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Warren Newman caught a 20-yard pass from Jalen Jones. Extra point was no good. 4 plays, 50 yards, a minute and 13 second time of possession. Capping, making the final score 33-28 for Jackson State. Jackson State had 21 first downs total, 11 rushing, 9 passing, and 1 by penalty. Grambling, 29 first downs, 12 rushing, 14 passing, and 3 by penalty. Jackson State ran for 293 yards on 47 carries, 6.2 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Grambling, 182 yards rushing on 46 carries, 4 yards per rush, 3 touchdowns. Jackson State was 12 of 18 passing for 180 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Grambling, 25 of 38 for 240 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Total offense, Jackson State, 473 yards on 65 plays, 7.3 yards per play. They fumbled twice and lost both. 6 penalties for 38 yards. Grambling, 422 yards of offense on 84 plays, 5 yards per play, 1 fumble, and they lost it. 11 penalties for 55 yards for Grambling. Jackson State punted 3 times for 116 yards for 38-yard average. 1 punt inside the 20, 150-plus-yard punt. And 1 punt was fair caught. Grambling punted 7 times for 238 yards, 34 yards per punt. one punt inside the 20 and one punt fair caught. Time of possession, Jackson State 28 minutes and 6 seconds. Grambling 31 minutes and 54 seconds. Jackson State was 8 of 13 on third down, 0 for 0 on fourth down, 3 of 5 in the red zone. They had 2 sacks, and they were 3 of 5 on extra points, and they were 0 for 1 on field goals. Grambling 6 of 14 on third down, 1 for 1 on fourth down, 4 of 5 in the red zone. They didn't have any sacks, 4 for 4 on extra points, and they didn't attempt a field goal. Jalen Jones, 12 of 18 for Jackson State, 180 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks, had a long of 64 yards. Jeremy Higbottom for Grambling, 24 of 35, 237 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. He was sacked twice. He had a long of 25 yards. Elijah Walker was 1 of 3 for Grambling for 3 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks. Tyson Alexander had 17 carries for Jackson State for 184 yards, 1 touchdown, 53 yard longest run, 10.8 yards per carry. That's a damn good game. I don't care who you are. 10 yards a carry, that's beast mode on the day. Kimani Clark, 19 carries, 70 yards, no touchdowns, 3.7 yards per rush, 21 yards was his longest. Jalen Jones, 11 carries, 39 yards, 1 touchdown, 11 yards was his longest, 3.5 yards per rush for Jones. Higbottom led Grambling with 16 carries for 81 yards, 1 touchdown. His longest run was 14 yards, 5.1 yards per rush. C.J. Russell, 11 carries, 51 yards, no touchdowns. His long was 17, 4.6 yards per rush. Keylon Elder, 15 carries, 36 yards, 2 touchdowns, 16 yards was his longest. And he averaged 2.4 yards per rush. And LaDainian Brooks, 4 carries for 14 yards, no touchdowns, 8 yards was his longest run, and he averaged 3.5 yards per rush. Receiving, Daylon Baldwin for Jackson State, 2 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown, long was 64. Warren Newman, 4 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown, his long was 20. Kylan Ritchie, 1 catch for 23 yards. Quincy Casey, 2 catches for 20 yards, 16 yards was his longest. Corey Reed Jr., 3 catches for 8 yards and a touchdown, and he had a longer 13. Grambling was led by Darrell James with 6 catches for 87 yards, no touchdowns, with a longer 25 yards. Darrell Clark, 8 catches for 75 yards and a touchdown. His longest catch was 25 yards. Kobe Ross, 5 catches for 38 yards, no touchdown, 13 yards with his longest. LaDainian Brooks, 2 catches, 20 yards, no touchdowns, 11 yards was his longest. C.J. Russell, 1 catch for 9 yards, no touchdowns, and 9 yards was his longest. Raylon Richardson, 2 catches, 8 yards, longer 6. And Donald Johnson, 1 catch for 3 yards. Jackson State was led in tackles by Miller with 18, and Keontae Hampton with 15. Those are huge tackling numbers. Both guys did a great job. Kendrick Paul, 8. Pillow Smiley, 8. Hooks, 7. Berthley and Crane, 4. Warren, Arrington, Willis, Barnett, Carter, and McIntosh each had 2. And then they had 7 guys with 2 tackles apiece. Tackles for loss, Hooks, Miller, Hampton, and Crane each with 1. Pillow Smiley, McIntosh, Paul, and Lyles each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. Sacks, Pillow Smiley, McIntosh, Crane, and Lyles each had a half a sack apiece. Miller had a forced fumble. Fumble recovery by Hampton, and no interceptions for Jackson State. Matthews led Grambling with 12 tackles. Fontenot, 10. Anderson, 8. Mitchell and Dunn with 7. Martin and Powell with 6. Williams with 5. Foster with 4. Estes and Sheffield with 3. Fields, Richard, Green, and Carter each had 2. Tackles for loss, Williams and Matthews with 1. Anderson, Martin, Powell and Carter each had a half a tackle for loss. Grambling had no sacks. Forced fumbles were by Powell and Fontenot. Fumble recovery was by Powell and Mitchell. And Grambling had no interception. So this was honestly seemed like a really entertaining game. Like I said, I didn't have a chance to watch it. I'm going to try to sit down and watch it this afternoon. I like to watch, go back and watch games, especially when I don't get to see them in person or even on the live broadcast. But Jackson State is honestly they're starting to put some things together. I think they did answer a lot of questions that some people may have had coming off of the Edward Waters game. You know, they did this on the road against a actual team per se. I know this is Grambling's first game, but they still put up a good fight. And they showed some things that they didn't show in the beginning of most seasons. And they have a lot that they can build on. And Jackson State still can get better. This is a team that you're definitely going to have to look out for. That matchup that they have in the next few weeks against Alabama A&M is going to be a big game for them. And it's going to go a long way with showing, you know, where they stand in the SWAC. But that, you know, that's by no means to say that they can't get this done. I really believe that they can represent the SWAC in the East Division and really win this championship in the shortened season. So they're going to, I really think they're taking advantage of a lot of opportunities that's put in front of them, and they're only going to get better. And that's honestly a scary thing. If you're not a Jackson State fan and you watching them play, they're going to get better. And you have to hope that your team is going to get better, or else you're going to have a long day when you face the Blue Bengals. So, I'm not on the Deion Sanders hype train. You know, I mean, like I said before, that's my all-time favorite player. But I'm not on the hype train. But I real recognize real. And when you see a team trying to grow and learn, you can't do anything but respect that. Now, that don't mean I feel like they're going to go undefeated this spring and then in the fall and then 5 years of undefeated. They're going to have their ups and downs, and they still have, you know, this is not a long season per se, but it's long enough that, you know, there's still going to be peaks and valleys. So it's still going to be interesting to see how they handle everything cut from this point on. But for now, you know, they're doing well, and they're making plays as they need to. And they're building a solid foundation that they can add other pieces to. So that was a solid win by Jackson State. And Grambling is gonna, you know, Grambling is gonna get better. Grambling has the last couple of years has been a notoriously slow starting team. So that's something that you kind of have to take into account. They always manage to try to find a way to get things together at the end. There's not much time for that this spring, but you know, Grambling always kind of feels their way around. And then they put things together. So we'll see how they do as the season progresses. Grambling's next game will be on March 13th in Arlington, Texas, as they face the Prairie View Panthers in the State Fair Classic. So that game will be a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Jackson State faces Valley on Sunday at home at 1 o'clock kickoff. Both games are... Well, the Jackson State game is on ESPN3, so you can definitely check that out. And no TV as of yet for Grambling, but this should be a game to watch. Jack Grambling and Prairie View is a potential still is a potential West Division, important West Division matchup, because even though, you know, the season is still fresh right now, and anything can happen. So, you know, you definitely need to win your division games, and Grambling and Prairie View is a huge division that's gonna shape the race for the rest of the way. Our next game we're gonna go to is a game that I had no idea how to pick, and I went with South Carolina State basically on I can't remember, but I figured the game would be a closer game because nobody had any idea what each team would do, but Alabama A&M went out and put on a good show in Orangeburg, South Carolina, and defeated South Carolina State 31-7 to pick up their first on-field victory of the season. And I like to salute Alabama A&M for making this move to play this game, because they would have been off for quite a while with having their first two games postponed. So, well, one game canceled and one game postponed. But they were able to go out and put together something. And also impact their fall schedule, because by playing South Carolina State in the spring in Orangeburg, they were able to flip that into a home and home and play South Carolina State in Huntsville in the fall. So that's, you know, that's two birds with one stone. You get you a game to play in the spring right now, and then you also get a home game in the fall to enhance your fall schedule. So I definitely like to salute the Bulldogs for that move, because that's, you know, a really good forward thinking thing. And the same thing happened with Alabama State. They're gonna host South Carolina State and then go to them in the fall. So that, you know, those are good moves, and sometimes you have to make those kind of moves to make things happen. So Alabama A&M got the game started off with a 16-yard pass from Glass to Ibrahim. With extra point was good, four plays, 55 yards, 1 minute and 1 second time of possession. They gave the Bulldogs of Alabama A&M a 7-0 lead with 9 minutes and 8 seconds to go in the second quarter. With 21 seconds to go before halftime, Alabama A&M got a 18-yard pass from Glass to Odu Hilaire. Extra point was good, 3 plays, 3 yards, 51 second time of possession. Alabama A&M led 14-0 in at half with 13 minutes and 22 seconds to go in the third quarter. Odu Hilaire caught a 65-yard pass from Glass. Extra point was good. 21-0 was the score at that point. This box score is written so crazy. Brian Jenkins got a 20-yard touchdown from Glass for Alabama A&M with 4 minutes and 43 seconds to go in the third quarter. Extra point was good. Alabama A&M led 28-0 with 13 minutes and 36 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Alex James ran for 23 yards for South Carolina State. Extra point good. 28-7 was the score at that point. And then with 7 minutes and 52 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Spencer Corey, 37-yard field goal for Alabama A&M. 31-7 was the score, and that was the final score. I just like to point out, I'm reading this this official scoring summary on the Alabama A&M site, and the scoring and the teams who scored are all mixed up. So you kind of had to look at and recognize names of guys. One score would say South Carolina State scored, but it really was Alabama A&M. One score would say happened in the third quarter when it really happened in the fourth. On the time, the drive numbers are all out of whack. So this was kind of an adventure, I guess you could say, just like the game was an adventure to get to. The scoring summary was an adventure to get through. So we did it. Let's see. Alabama A&M had 22 total first downs, 7 rushing, 12 passing, 3 by penalty. South Carolina State, 14 first downs, 8 rushing, 6 passing, and none by penalty. Alabama A&M ran for 166 yards on 36 carries, 4.6 yards per carry. No touchdowns. South Carolina State, 165 yards rushing on 36 carries, 4.6 yards per carry, 1 touchdown. Alabama A&M threw the ball for 272 yards, 15 of 33. 4 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. It's amazing that they were able to win this game the way they did, turning the ball over 3 times. South Carolina State, 10 of 22, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 132 yards. Total offense, 438 yards for Alabama A&M, 6.3 yards per play, no fumbles, 5 penalties, 74 yards. 297 yards for South Carolina State on 58 plays, 5.1 yard per play. They fumbled 3 times and lost all 3. 6 penalties for 65 yards. Alabama A&M punted 5 times for 203 yards, 40 yard average. 2 50 plus yard punts, 1 touchback, 4 kicks for a caught. South Carolina State punted 7 times for 220 yards. That's a 30 yard average. Time of possession, Alabama A&M 29 minutes and 50 seconds. South Carolina State, 27 minutes and 49 seconds. Alabama A&M, 4 of 11 on third down, 0 for 1 on fourth down, 4 for 4 in the red zone. No sacks. 4 for 4 on extra points and 1 for 1 on field goals. South Carolina State, 2 of 12 on third down, 1 of 2 on fourth down, 0 for 2 in the red zone. No sacks. 1 for 1 on extra points and no field goals attempted. Glass for Alabama A&M, 15 of 33, 272 yards, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. This shows he was sacked 2 times. The box score said they had no sacks, but I guess South Carolina State did have 2 sacks. Corey Fields for South Carolina State, 10 of 22, 132 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and he was sacked 3 times. Again, both box scores show that there were no sacks, but obviously there were 2. 2 for South Carolina State, 3 for Alabama A&M. Garrett Quarles led Alabama A&M with 21 carries for 92 yards, no touchdowns. 17 yard was his longest run, 4.4 yards per rush. Quintarius Daniel, 5 carries for 31 yards, 13 yard average, 6.2 yard per rush. Cameron Young, 2 of 30, 2 carries, 29 yards, long of 30, 14.5 yards per carry. Brian Jenkins Jr., 1 carry, 10 yards. Dami Adekunjo, 1 carry, 7 yards. Xavier Langford, 1 carry, 1 yard. Colin Malone, 3 carries, 1 yard. Glass, 2 carries, minus 5 yards. South Carolina State was led by Kendrell Flowers, 13 carries, 115 yards. No touchdowns, 32-yard longest run, 8.8 yards per carry. Nice game for him. Tyrese Nick, 6 carries, 24 yards, 11-yard long, 4-yard average. Alex James, 5 carries, 24 yards, 1 touchdown. His long was 23, 4.8 yards per rush. LeBron Morris, 2 carries, 2 yards. Longest was 2 yards. Corey Fields, 9 carries, 0 yards net. He lost 32 yards, mainly sacks. A longer 8. Odu Hilaire led Alabama A&M with 2 catches for 83 yards. 2 touchdowns, 65 yards was his long. Ibrahim, 6 catches, 81 yards, 1 touchdown, 23 yards was his long. Gary Quarles, 1 catch, 38 yards. Brian Jenkins Jr., 2 catches, 27 yards, and a touchdown, 20 yards was his longest. Terrell Gardner, 2 catches, 27 yards, 15 yards was his longest. Kendrick Johnson, 1 catch, 15 yards. Keon Wakefield, 1 catch, 1 yard. South Carolina State was led by Shaquan Davis, 2 catches, 51 yards, long of 34. Tyrese Nick, 3 catches, 19 yards, a long of 12. Khalil Ellis, 1 catch, 19 yards. Richard Bailey, 1 catch, 16 yards. Cameron Johnson, 1 catch, 15 yards. Rodrigue Thomas, 2 catches, 12 yards, a long of 9. Armani Holloway led the Bulldogs of AAMU with 10 tackles. Frelick Colefield, 6. Jonathan Struggs, 4. Adekunjo, 3. Quintavious Kelly, 3. Higgins and Guilford with 3. Amari Holloway, 2. Trenton McGee, 2. Richard Callaway, 2. Eli Jackson, 2. DeMarco Gibson, Demetrius Bembry, Marcus Cushine, Ibrahim, and Russell each had 2. Tackles for loss, Armani Holloway, 2. Xavier Billingsley, Eli Jackson, Marcus Cushine, and Kelly with 1 each. Sacks were by Cushine with 2 and Kelly with 1. Forced fumbles, Colefield, Huggins, and Mitchell each had 1 forced fumble. And Kelly had 2 interceptions. The Bulldogs of South Carolina State were led by Chad Gilchrist with 8 with 10 tackles, B.J. Davis with 10 tackles, Kalik Anthony, Dwayne Nichols, Shaw Haltewanger, each had 3, Moultrie and Brown with 2, and then they had about 7 or 8 guys with 1 tackle apiece. Tackles for loss, Gilchrist, 1.5, Wilcox, Moultrie, and Tucker each with 1, and Davis with 0.5 a tackle for loss. Wilcox and Haltewanger each had 1 sack apiece. and Durant had three interceptions. So this was honestly for a game that kind of was put together at the last second. You didn't really have any idea of how and who to prepare for. This was a good game for Alabama A&M. A to just get out there and be able to compete, and B to put some good things out there. And they still have some things to work on. The three interceptions is something that they're definitely going to have to clean up as the season goes on. You know, when you have a top-notch quarterback, he should not be throwing three interceptions at any portion of the season, even in a first game. It's not really a solid look as far as protecting the football, but they, you know, they still managed to win the game going away, so that's still a good sign if you're a Bulldog fan. But they have some things to work on, and they have a tough stretch of games the rest of the way. They play Prairie View on March 20th, so they have another bye week. So it's a good thing they were able to get this game in, because if they didn't get this game in, they would not have played their first game until March 20th. So that was they needed this game. So March 20th, they go to Prairie View. March 22nd, 27th, they're at home against Grambling. Another bye week. And then April 10th, they at Jackson State. And then April 17th is the Magic City Classic in Birmingham against Alabama and Alabama State before they close out at home at Valley. So they have a four-game stretch of games that are very tough, and they're going to make or break them. One loss in these stretch of games can really probably wreck their season. So they're going to have to really protect their football and continue to be productive on offense. And the defense looked pretty good for this game. So if they can continue to build on that, they're gonna give some teams some trouble, because they are obviously one of the top two teams in the East Division with Alcorn not playing right now. So that's definitely a good look for them. And we're gonna see how the Bulldogs continue on their path through the rest of the season. Our next game is Prairie View and Texas Southern hooking up in the Labor Day Classic in the springtime, as I like to call it. And Texas Southern put up a hell of a fight in this game. This is another game that I had a chance to watch a little bit of this game. Not enough. Prairie View had the game kind of in control when I was watching it, but Prairie View was able to pull out a 20-19 victory over Texas Southern. And that, you know, this is one of those things where you're gonna have to look at this game a few weeks down the line to really get an idea of what it really means. But it's a conference win for Prairie View, and B, it's a divisional win for them. So that's, you know, you always want to start your season off on a good foot. So they definitely did that. They do got some things that they're gonna have to work on. But Texas Southern looked pretty good also. They did some, you know, they did some positive things, and they never really quit. So they're gonna be a dangerous team. Maybe they can right the ship now. Because they definitely need to pick up some momentum and get off of that. Over that winless streak that they were on. So this is their 12th straight on the field loss, and they definitely gonna have to get something going to get this game, get the ship turned around and facing in the right direction. Prairie View got on the board with 7 minutes and 25 seconds to go in the first quarter when Luis Reyes made a 31-yard field goal, 9 plays, 42 yards, 3 minutes and 48 time of possession. Prairie View led 3-0. Ahmad Antoine ran for 3 yards for Prairie View with 2 minutes and 45 seconds to go in the first quarter. Extra point good, 5 plays, 55 yards, 3 minutes and 14 second time of possession, 10-0. Prairie View got a field goal from Reyes, this time for 28 yards with 1:03 to go in the second quarter. From 28 yards, capping a 6-play, 59-yard. 1:46 time possession drive, 13-0 with that score at that point. With 1 second to go in the second quarter, Jonathan Giles ran for 2 yards, caught a 2-yard pass from Thaddeus Payton to get Texas Southern on the board. Extra point was good, 5 plays, 52 yards, 55 second time of possession, 13-7. With 9 minutes and 10 seconds to go in the third quarter, Texas Southern got a safety by way of Julian Markintel. Made the score 13-9. With 6 minutes and 28 seconds to go in the third quarter, Osby Mitchell caught a 4-yard pass from Thaddeus Payton to give Texas Southern a 16-13 lead. That capped off a 7-play, 72-yard drive, taking 2 minutes and 37 seconds off the clock 11 minutes and 34 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Garcia kicked a 38-yard field goal for Texas Southern, capping a 9-play, 34-yard drive that took 4:14 off the clock. Texas Southern led at that point 19-13. And with a minute and 40 seconds left to go in the game, Christian Mosley ran 4 yards for Prairie View for a touchdown. Extra point good, 12 plays, 79 yards, 3 minutes, and 11 second time of possession. Prairie View led at that point 20-19. And the last drive by Texas Southern, after the touchdown, they got the ball at their own 24. They moved the ball to their own third, to their own 24. Then they took back to move them back to their 35, and then they fumbled, and Prairie View recovered and ran out the clock. So they didn't really do much on their last drive. They only gained about 20 yards before they went backwards. So they didn't really have a chance to really put themselves in position to score a winning field goal. But all in all, this was a good effort by Texas Southern. And defensively, they played very well, especially for the way that they played last year. 18 first downs for Texas Southern, 6 rushing, 10 passing, 2 by penalty. 17 first downs for Prairie View, 5 rushing, 11 passing, 1 by penalty. 176 yards of rushing offense for Texas Southern. 42 attempts, 4.2 yards per rush, no touchdowns. 88 yards rushing for Prairie View, 30 carries, 2.9 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Right now, this is just one game, so you don't really want to overreact off of one game, but they definitely miss having a back like DeJuan Tucker, so somebody's going to have to step up and take the lead as the lead back for the Panthers. Texas Southern was 25 with 33 passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 172 yards. Prairie View 20 of 41, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 228 yards. Texas Southern 348 yards of total offense on 75 plays, 4.6 yards per play. They fumbled 4 times and lost 2. 5 penalties for 45 yards. Prairie View 316 yards of total offense on 71 plays, 4.5 yards per play. They didn't fumble. 9 penalties for 81 yards. Texas Southern punted 6 times for 230 yards. 38-yard average, 2 punts inside the 20, 3 punts fair caught. 4 punts for Prairie View, 131 yards, 32-yard per punt, 1 punt inside the 20, 1 50-plus-yard punt, and 1 kick fair caught. Time of possession, Texas Southern 31 minutes and 32 seconds, Prairie View 28 minutes. 6 of 16 for Texas Southern on third down, 0 for 1 on fourth down. 3 of 3 in the red zone, 3 sacks, 2 for 2 on extra points, 1 for 2 on field goals. Prairie View 2 of 13 on third down, 2 of 4 on fourth down, 4 for 4 on fourth down, 4 sacks for them, 2 of 2 extra points, and 2 of 2 on field goals. Thaddeus Payton, 18 of 22 for Texas Southern, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns, no sacks. I mean, no interception, 3 sacks. Devin Williams, 7 of 11, 40 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked once. TJ Starks, 10 of 21 for Prairie View for 151 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception, 1 sack. Shazon Connolly, 10 of 20 for Prairie View, 77 yards, no touchdowns, 1 interception. He was sacked twice. The Darius Owens, 16 carries, 109 yards for Texas Southern, 56-yard longest run, 6.8 yards per rush. Ja'Cory Howard, 11 carries, 53 yards, 29-yard long, 4.8 yard per rush. Jalen Nelson, 5 carries, 24 yards, 29-yard long, 4.8 yard per rush. Devin Williams, 3 carries for a net of 3 yards, long of 5, 1-yard average. Thaddeus Payton, 7 carries, minus 13 yards, 8-yard was his long, minus 1.9 yard per rush total. Christian Mosley, 10 carries for Prairie View for 37 yards, 1 touchdown, 19-yard long, 3.7 yard per rush. TJ Starks, 6 carries for 21 yards, 10-yard long, 3.5 yard per rush. Ahmad Antoine, 7 carries for 15 yards, 1 touchdown. 5 yard long, 2.1 yard per carry. Shazon Conley, 4 carries, 11 yards, 26 yards long, longest run, 2.8 yard per carry. Bernard Good, 2 carries, 4 yards, 3 yard was his longest, average of 2. Keelan Davis led Texas Southern with 4 catches for 47 yards, 15 yard long. Thurman Morbley, 4 catches, 37 yards, 20 yard long. Jyrean Johnson, 3 catches, 29 yards, 15 yard long. Osby Mitchell, 3 catches, 24 yards, 1 touchdown, 12 yards was his long. Jonathan Giles, former Texas Tech and LSU running receiver, now at Texas Southern, 2 catches, 13 yards, 1 yard long. 1 touchdown, 11 yards was his longest. Pippins, 1 catch, 11 yards. McKinney, 1 catch, 7 yards. Isaiah Hamilton, 1 catch, 5 yards. Ja'Cory Howard, 1 catch, no yards. Ladarius Owens, 5 catches, minus 1 yard, longer 6. Colby Washington led Prairie View with 5 catches for 57 yards, longer 22. Kalen Rowell, 3 catches, 51 yards, 23 yards was his long. Travis O'Connor, 5 catches, 43 yards, 13 yards with his long. Ty Holden, 2 catches, 39 yards, longer 34. Chris Johnson, 2 catches, 16 yards, longer 18. Tony Mullins, 1 catch for 4 yards. Bernard Good, 1 catch for 3 yards. And Christian Mosley, 1 catch for 2 yards. Tyreek Cooper led Texas Southern with 7 tackles. Tim Walton, 5. Pippins, 5. Badejo, 4. Murray. Anderson, Murray and Anderson also had 4. Williams, Prince, Walker, Martinez each had 3. Hamilton and Johnson with 2. And 8 guys with 1 tackle apiece. Tackle for loss, Anderson, 2. Cooper, 2. Pippins, 1.5. Badejo, 1.5. Hamilton, 1. Walton and Chance each had 1/2 of tackle for loss. Sacks. Pippins, Badejo, and Anderson each with 1. Interceptions, Williams and Benjamin each had 1 interception. Prairie View was led in tackles by Story Jackson with 17, Drake Cheatham 7, Jesse Evans 7, Troy James and Trayshawn Smith with 6, Jason Dumas 5, Mullins 4, Turner 4, Harris 4, Mulmore 4, Stubble 3, Victorian, Deuri, Harris, and Obi. Green and Carter each had 2, Rose with 1. Tackle for loss, Jackson 4, Dumas 2.5, Evans 2, Smith 2, Obi 1, James 1, Green 1, Carter 1, Turner 1, Hawkins 1, and Mulmore with 1/2 a tackle for loss. They made a lot of plays in the backfield. That's a good sign of a good defense. Sacks. Dumas 2, Obi 1, James and Evans each had 1/2 a sack apiece. Obi, Smith, and Obi had 2 forced fumbles. Smith and Turner each had 1. Obi had a fumble recovery, and Jackson had a fumble recovery. Interception was by Jalen Harris. So this honestly was a game that, like I said, you kind of have to sit down and look at it again. But Prairie View didn't really play a great offensive game. They played a good defensive game. And they were able to hold off Texas Southern. Texas Southern definitely showed some improvement over the last couple years. So they're heading in the right direction. They have the week off next week. And then they face Southern on March 20th at home. So they have a week to kind of clean some things up and get ready for a Southern team that we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. And when I say talk about, I really mean talk about. But so they're improving. Texas Southern is gonna definitely be a dangerous out. You definitely are not gonna be able to look past this team this year. They showed that in the middle of last season, in the middle of the 2019 season, that you weren't gonna be able to look past them. So they have Southern on March 20th, Grambling on April 3rd, bye week. Then they have Valley at home. So they have 3 straight home games before they close out on April 24th at Pine Bluff. And right now they're sitting at 1-1 because they did have a game against Alcorn that was canceled. So they're sitting at 1-1 right now. Prairie View, they have a game this upcoming Saturday, as I said before, against Grambling in the State Fair Classic. They host Alabama A&M on March 20th. March 28th, they go to Jackson to take on Jackson State. April 10th, at the bye week, they host Southern, and they close out their season on April 17th at Arkansas Pine Bluff. So definitely no easy games for them the rest of the way, but they did pick up a very important victory at home, and that's something that, you know, you can never sneeze at. Whether it's one or 100, it's still a victory, especially in a game against a rival, you know. And it was both teams' first game, so you never really know what to expect. And they're going to have some things they need to clean up, but this is also something positive for them. So it's something that they can take and move forward with. So the next game, we're gonna talk about the final game of the week. It was a very, very interesting game. This game had all kind of madness going on. Pine Bluff was able to pick up a big 33-30 victory over Southern, and win their first game of the season and win their first game for their head coach, Doc Gamble. And Southern dropped to 2-1 on this game. Obviously, they picked up a forfeit victory over Alcorn and a victory at Alabama State last week. So this game, I'm gonna do my summary and everything on this game. Then I'm gonna talk a little bit more about this game after this. So once I'm done with the preview, if you're not really interested in a little, I'm giving you a little warning. If you're not interested in a little rant on Southern football, then you know you can kind of take this review part, and then you know come back with us later. But this was a game that was a wild game to me. I was actually at this game, so this was a game that I kind of witnessed a game kind of getting out of hand by one team, and it was not the team that you would expect to have it get out of hand for. Pine Bluff came with a plan, and they stuck to their plan. Their plan was to punch Southern in the mouth and to frustrate them, and I really think for a good quarter and a half, they did that, and that set the tone for the rest of the game, that Southern dug a hole that they just could not get out of. Zach Prisniska got Pine Bluff on the scoreboard first with a 35-yard field goal, coming with 12 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the first quarter. 8 plays, 37-yard drive, 2 minutes and 30-second time of possession. Pine Bluff led 3-0. Gerard Sims got Southern on the board with a minute and 7 seconds to go in the first quarter when he ran a 23-yard touchdown, extra point good. 15 plays, 98-yard drive, 6 minutes and 53 seconds off the clock, 7-3. Pine Bluff got on the board again with 12 minutes and 42 seconds to go in the second quarter when Skylar Perry ran for 31 yards, extra point good, 3 plays, 46 yards, 43-yard time of possession, 10-7 was the score, 43-second time of possession. With 8 minutes and 2 seconds to go in the second quarter, Marquise McClain, 13-yard pass from Lampley for Southern, extra point good. 10 plays, 75 yards, 4 minutes and 40-second time of possession, 14-10 was the score at that point. 5 minutes and 19 seconds to go in the second quarter, Southern snapped the punt. Well, the punt got blocked by Pine Bluff and went out the back of the end zone, 14-12 for a safety. 2 minutes and 38 seconds to go in the second quarter, Josh Wilkes caught a 14-yard pass from Perry, extra point good, 7 plays, 60 yards. 2 minutes and 41 second time of possession, 19-14. And then with two seconds to go in the second quarter, Harry Ballard caught a 2-yard pass from Perry for Pine Bluff. Extra point good, 8 plays, 76 yards, 1:50 time of possession, halftime score, 26-14. With 7 minutes and 8 seconds to go in the third quarter, Perry ran a 2-yard touchdown for Pine Bluff, capping off a 12 play, 70-yard drive, 5 minutes and 19 seconds to go in the third quarter. 33-14. With 56 seconds to go in the third quarter, Barajas kicked a 36-yard field goal for Southern, capping a full play, 4-yard drive, 1:26 time of possession, 33-17. With 14 minutes and 9 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Jamel Bird ran a block punt 17 yards for a touchdown, giving Southern a deficit of 33-23. With 7 minutes and 12 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Gerard Sims caught a 9-yard touchdown pass from Lampley. Extra point was good. 9 plays, 80 yards, 3 minutes and 3 seconds time of possession, 33-30 was the score at that point. And that would be the final margin. Pine Bluff spent most of the fourth quarter trying to run the clock out. Really curious offensive possessions for Pine Bluff in the later portion of the second half. They basically didn't do anything for the most part. Drove and drove and ended up punting a couple of times. Southern had one final chance with the ball at their own 10-yard line. And drove it down to their 41 before they threw an interception. And then Pine Bluff ran the clock out at that point to pick up a big road victory for them and a big first game victory for them. And honestly, it can set the tone for their season if they can build on this. I mean, it's almost similar to what they did in 2019 when they picked up a big road win against Alabama A&M, but they weren't able to keep that momentum going for the rest of the season. But this was a big win for Pine Bluff, and as they're continuing to show that they're an improving and dangerous team in this division, they're going to be a team to reckon with in this division moving forward, as long as they can keep growing and if they can keep themselves in check, because they kind of got above their skis a little bit late in this game, but they were able to manage it and survive. So they had 20 first downs, 7 rushing, 12 passing, and 1 by penalty. Southern 23 first downs, 7 rushing, 14 passing, 2 by penalty. Pine Bluff 188 yards rushing on 37 carries, 5.1 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns. Southern 134 yards rushing on 34 carries, 3.9 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Pine Bluff 22 of 37 passing, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Southern 24 of 39, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 292 yards. Pine Bluff 411 total yards of offense, 74 plays, 5.6 yards per play, no fumbles, 5 penalties, 43 yards. Southern 426 yards of offense on 73 plays, 5.8 yards per play, 1 fumble, they lost it. Pine Bluff punted 7 times for 282 yards, 40 yard average, 3 punts inside the 20, 250 plus yard punts, and 1 touchback. 4 punts for Southern for 115 yards, 28 yard per punt average, 1 punt per cart. Time of possession, Pine Bluff 30 minutes and 26 seconds, 8 of 18 on third down, 0 for, they didn't go for a fourth down. 4 of 6 in the red zone, they had 1 sack, 4 of 4 on extra points, 1 of 2 on field goals. Southern 27 minutes and 54 seconds time of possession, 6 of 15 on third down, 2 of 3 on fourth down, 4 for 4 in the red zone, 1 sack. They were 3 of 3 on extra points and 1 for 1 on field goals. So when you look at the stats, this game basically was just as even as the score ended up. Pine Bluff led in rushing, Southern led in passing and total offense. The difference as far as statistically goes, Southern turned the ball over 4 times and Pine Bluff didn't turn it over at all. Though, you know, anyone in them four turnovers don't happen, Southern probably is able to pull his game out. But Pine Bluff did what, you know, they did what they set out to do. They set out to come out here and win, and they wanted to show Southern that they weren't scared of them. Like, they kind of, I think they felt last year that they kind of buckled against Southern. This year, I think they wanted to come out and show that they could go toe-to-toe, and they took it there, and Southern just could not respond. Skylar Perry, 22 of 37 for Pine Bluff, 223 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interception. He was sacked once. John Lampley, 20 of 33 for Southern, 238 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, no sacks. Skelton, 4 of 6, 54 yards, no touchdowns, no interception. He was sacked once. Perry led Pine Bluff in rushing with 8 carries for 58 yards, 2 touchdowns, 31 yards was long, 7.3 yards per carry. Omar Allen, 10 carries, 54 yards, 27 yards with his long, 5.4 yards per carry. Mateus Clark, 15 carries, 52 yards, 19 yards with his long, 3.5 yards per carry. DeJuan Miller, 1 carry, 21 yards. Stanley Bentley, 1 carry, 3 yards. Lavonsky Williams, 1 carry, 1 yard. Sims led Southern with 11 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Ben, 10 carries, 22 yards. Sims had a longer 23 and 5.5 yard average. Ben had a longer 12, 2.2 yard average. Craig Nelson, 3 carries, 22 yards. Longer 9, 7.3 yards per rush. Skelton, 6 carries, 21 yards. 12 yards with his long 3.5 yard average. Lampley, 3 carries, 13 yards. 7 yards, his average 4.3 yards per rush. McLean, 1 carry for 1 yard. Tyrann Ralph, 7 catches, 86 yards. 23 yards was a long. Josh Wilkes, 4 catches, 84 yards. 1 yard was his long. Excuse me, 1 touchdown, 44 yards was his long. DeJuan Miller, 2 catches, 23 yards with a longer 12. Harry Ballard, 4 catches, 19 yards and a touchdown, 11 yards was his long. Omar Allen, 3 catches, 10 yards, a longer 8. Mateus Clark, 2 catches, 1 yard. Brandon Hinton led Southern with 3 catches for 60 yards, a longer 35. Marquise McClain, 6 catches, 58 yards, and a touchdown, 21 yards of his long. Jorian Valiant, 5 catches, 52 yards, 17 yards along. Ethan Howard, 3 catches, 50 yards, a longer 34. Gerard Sims, 4 catches, 39 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 15. Mekhi Hammond, 1 catch, 15 yards. Corey Williams, 1 catch, 10 yards. Devon Ben, 1 catch, 8 yards. Kobe Watts led Pine Bluff with 9 tackles. Marcus Askew, 9. Isaac Pepples, 8. Jalen Thigpen, 7. Sean Steele and Tamon Akins, 6. Xavier Mitchell, 5. Tyler Smith, 4. Kevion Johnson and Stanley Bentley and Solomon Brooks, each with 3. Harris and McKinney with 2. And 7 guys with 1 tackle apiece. Tackle for loss, Askew 1.5, Akins 1.5, Thigpen and Watts with 1, Peppers and Mitchell with each had a half a tackle for loss, and the sack was by Askew. Forced fumbles, they don't show any listed, but Southern did fumble 3 times. 1 recovery by Peppers is listed. Interceptions, Johnson, Thigpen, and Steele each had 1 interception apiece. Anderson led Southern with 9 tackles, Papillon and Carter with 7, Williams with 6, Smith and Square with 5, Foster and Ivy with 4, Eastling, Rivers, Lewis, Caldwell, and Nash with 3 tackles apiece, Judson, Jones, Cotton, Tate, and Johnson each had 2 tackles apiece, and 6 guys had 1 tackle apiece. Tackle for loss, Lewis, 1.5, Caldwell, Square, Johnson, Givens, and Anderson each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. Lewis and Caldwell each had a half a sack. No forced fumbles and no interceptions by Southern. Again, Pine Bluff did, you know, they played a scrappy game, and they were able to pick up the victory. They have the week off. They'll be back on March 20th to take on Grambling at Grambling. March 27th, they go to March 27th, they host Alabama State. April 3rd, they go to Valley. And then April 17th, they at the bye week, they host Prairie View. And then April 24th, they host Texas Southern. So not a challenging slate for them, but it's still, you know, obviously SWAC can be anybody, can beat anybody. So you kind of just want to see how they shake back after a big victory, you know, a big victory, and then an off week and a game against Grambling can be, you know, it could be a season defining moment if they continue to build on the momentum, or it could be one of those things where the season kind of gets away from them, because sometimes you have a big win and you lose focus, but the bye week definitely helps them in this regard to kind of remain focused. So we'll see how they do as their season continues. Southern goes to Texas Southern on March 20th. Then they have a bye week on March 27th. April 3rd, they go to Jackson. April 10th, they're at Prairie View. And April 17th, they're in Shreveport to take on Grambling in the Bayou Classic. So definitely not an easy slate for Southern. And Southern has a lot of searching to do in this off week before they head to Texas Southern to take on another team that's really scrappy right now. And then they have another bye week before they take on Jackson. So There's a lot of questions to be answered for Southern at this point. I'm gonna talk about Southern a little bit after this because I, watching this game, I was really surprised by the effort of a team who is supposed to be a team that has a veteran core. I think I saw somewhere they had between 47 and 50 guys who have in their third and fourth year, and a team like that should not be responding to any kind of negative plays or attention from the other team the way Southern did in that mid second quarter, mid to late first quarter and early second quarter. Back to back unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, your quarterback getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, coach pulling him for basically the rest of the game, quarterback on the sideline laughing and joking around, when he made a huge mistake to put them. I mean, the drive that this happened on was already a wasted drive, and it was a fourth down, but you was in position to be able to punt the ball away and keep playing. But you take a dumb penalty and put yourself back and put yourself deeper on the field and have to punt, and you're not really respecting the situation or getting the gravity of what happened. That's not a veteran team, and you're being led by a quarterback who is in his third year of starting, basically, 20 something starts on basically consecutive. And that's not the way that a team should play, And if you're the team that's kind of listed as a front runner for the division, and you now, because of the top team not playing, one of the teams to be considered to be the contender for the league title, and maybe even have an opportunity to play at home for the championship. This was just not the kind of effort that you want. And that's not to take anything away from Pine Bluff because they came out very much fired up. And they were with the stuff. I'll say it that way. They had it on their mind, and I think they just wanted to come out and punch Southern in the mouth and see how they responded. And Southern just they crumpled, I mean, they did re you know, they did re rebound after halftime and bounce back and make this a game. Which is something I look at Pine Bluff kind of sideways because I feel like the second half they didn't really play to win. I feel like they played most of the second half not to lose, but Southern was able to kind of get things together and start to make some plays and show the kind of team that they can be. But you should not. This is, everybody has a bad game every now and then, and this, we'll see if this was Southern's bad game or if this is gonna be the way the season is going to go. I mean, obviously the Alabama State game shows some chinks in the armor, and this game confirms some of those things. They're lacking right now. They're lacking a few things. They're lacking a good solid middle of the defense. On the secondary, still a suspect at times. The offensive line, they lost some pieces, so they have to gel. I always, the whole team has to gel because they did lose some very important pieces, but you can't talk leadership and not display leadership. And one of the things that, really to me stood out was the fact that your starting quarterback got put on the bench for basically the rest of the game because of a stupid penalty. So, and I don't really feel like he showed the leadership to, take accountability for his actions and show the coach that, yo, man, I messed up. I want to get out here and make it right. And win or lose, I want to show the guys that I'm here for everybody. It was just one of those games where, things were just not going right. And like I said before, one of the positives that I did take away from the game was that the team did rally together and show that they can, they can fight through adversity. Because when you're a team who is a championship caliber team, you got a championship caliber program, you find ways to win. It's not always about, how you look the whole game. It's about how the final score typically ends up. If you end up on the plus side of the final score, then anything else is out the window. So this part of the season right now is eerily similar to the 2018 Southern season, where they had a bad loss at home against Alcorn, which honestly was their last home loss. They had a bad loss at home against Alcorn, and they had a bye week before they played at Prairie View. And they were able to right the ship that time. I don't, after sitting back and kind of thinking over some things. You know, I don't want to write anybody off, but they have, you know, they have a lot of work to do. They have some soul searching to do. And this is going to be one of those things that's a test of how the approach to the spring football season is going to go. And this was one of those kind of things that I was interested in seeing. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be Southern that I was interested in seeing it happen with, but this is going to be, you know, how you approach these rest of these games. I mean, the season is obviously not over. You know, Pine Bluff does have, you know, the tiebreaker over you at this point, but they still have five games. They still have five games to play. So, you know, anything can happen on their end. You know, you still have games to play. Anything can happen on your end, and anything else can happen throughout the rest of the division. So, if you're on the Southern side, the season is not over. If you're on the Pine Bluff side, obviously the season is not over, although you probably wish it was so you can go ahead and play for a title. But, you know, things still have a way of shaking themselves out. But this was a very odd game for Southern. I just didn't feel like the focus or the mental fortitude was there, especially early. And that's something that they're going to have to work out because they're going to get everybody's best punch. You know, people have been hearing about Southern for 2 years and, you know, they're tired of it. And, you know, they're gonna test you all the time. They're going to test your heart. They're going to test your nuts, so to speak. And you have to, you know, you have to respond in a positive manner. You have to beat, you know, when you're the front runner, you have to beat those kind of teams on the field because they have nothing to lose. And if you sink to any kind of level that is not a championship level, then you put yourself at an even odds with that team. Now you're not dictating anything in the team in this game. You're reacting, and it showed that yesterday's game showed how quick things can happen. How, you know, a couple simple things can turn a game into what should have been a blowout. I really think Pine Bluff should have won this game by at least 20 points. I mean, they just didn't really. I don't know if they lost focus or they got nervous and just was trying to get out of that with whatever they could get out of that with. But Southern, you know, Southern made a spirited comeback, but I don't feel like Pine Bluff really kept the foot on the throat of Southern either. So I'm interested to see how Southern's going to rebound. Like I said, you know, it's not necessarily a long season because it's only a seven-game season, but it's still games left on the schedule. And as long as you have games left on the schedule, you always have a chance to prove yourself. And Southern's going to have to definitely dig deep and prove. And they still have some work to do on both sides of the ball. And first thing first with them is going to have to be figuring out this quarterback situation. Either, you know, you're going to have to go with your most athletic guy who obviously is showing that he's not leadership material right now. He's going to have to dig deep and show. Or you're going to have to go with a guy who you benched 2 years ago. And I, you know, he did serviceably well. Obviously, he hadn't played in a long time, so he did have a lot of rust on him in game action. So this bye week is gonna be interesting to see if you're keeping tabs on Southern. And if you're a SWAC fan, then you definitely want to keep eyes on what's going on with one of the top teams in the conference. Period. So, you know, how Southern goes is gonna shape the rest of the SWAC race. So this has an impact on everybody, but, you know, I just wanted to kind of put my Southern hat on a little bit and kind of rant. It was nothing focused. I just been going back and forth, you know, since the game, how I was going to approach this. But, you know, all in all, you know, you played a decent game for a couple quarters. You played a horrible quarter, and you still managed to only fall by three. So there's still a lot left to be done by everybody, you know, but right now, I would, you know, Alabama A&M, Jackson State are definitely the two teams to keep your eyes on at this point in the season. And I'm eagerly awaiting their matchup later in the season. That Prairie View and Grambling game next week is going to be huge, as it always is in the race. But this is going to be a game that, you know, the loser, you know, they can't afford to lose too many games after that. And the West Division, I honestly feel like it's going to come down to one or two losses. So we're going to keep our eyes on both division races, and it should be an interesting season the rest of the way. So let's hope that we can get these two games in that are on the schedule next week. And then all the games that are scheduled on March 20th, we're going to hope to see that we can get all these games in, and hopefully we can get through a full season. So that's going to do it for our show today. We'll be back on Wednesday to preview the week three games, again, those games are Mississippi Valley at Jackson State on Sunday, March 14th, and Prairie View and Grambling in Arlington, Texas on Saturday, March 13th. Also, this weekend, the SWAC basketball tournament is going on. We haven't really did any basketball on SWAC Talk in a while. And since we are basically in football season right now, it's kind of hard to really devote any time to the SWAC tournament. But that is coming up at this point. I think the tournament starts on March 10th. So that's something to kind of keep your eyes on. And we'll be back on Wednesday to preview these games, and we'll talk a little bit about the SWAC tournament. By that point, I think the tournament may have already started, but we'll do a little bit of a discussion of basketball real quick, to show basketball a little bit of love and preview the three games that we have on the two games that we have on the schedule for week three. So that'll do it for me today. I hope everybody has a good Sunday. Again, continue to stay safe, and hopefully everybody have a good week, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday.